Now I'd like to say that it's my privilege to be here tonight. I always count it a privilege to come to talk to God's people. And it looks like we've got a good little crowd tonight. If we'd have been able to have run ahead and got some advertisement out like we usually do, we'd probably had a full house here during this meeting. But in that they just got a few little brochures out the last minute. We didn't. Kind of this thing had to do with like a secret catching away. I told my wife that's what it would be like. And I know that when I say that, it's hard for people, even religious people, people that are deeply convicted in Christ, it's still hard for them to fathom the fact that God moved by great, wonderful spiritual means. You know, let's say this before I get into my talking here tonight. In the book of Colossians, I believe it's the third chapter, the second, third verse, in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, or that is, in God is hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I thank the Lord for being here and for feeling His wonderful presence, because God is doing something great. And we've had some wonderful meetings since I saw you people last. There's talking about the meeting in the Philippines out there tonight. Brother Roger was with us. And we had a great crowd who was there that some of you attended. Girls singing tonight, I could hear them from the outside. It reminded me of the meeting, and Roger was talking about it when we came in. And we've had some great meetings in the foreign fields, and we just had a great meeting under the tent. A couple of great meetings back not too long ago under the tent down in the Spanish area, down in Mexico, where God filled the tent up so much that the people just had to stand just side by side. And then the Philippines was about 15,000 people, according to what Roger was saying, that turned out for the meeting. And then in Africa and the different places, the Lord blessed us with hundreds and thousands of people. And in some local meetings, He's filled the tent up in time gone past with people to hear the gospel. Then we've had some real small crowds, not very large, but we still had wonderful services. One thing that I have been surprised at in my ministry here and abroad around the different parts of the world, and that is, with all of the places that I've traveled, with all of the things I've heard, all of the ministers that I've met on all levels of life, people on all levels of life, and that is, it's not very often that I ever hear people talking about the mysteries of God. This has always been real besetting to me of why I've not heard people talking about the mysteries of God. I hear them talking about religion. I hear them talking about the name Jesus. I hear them talking about God. I hear them talking about traveling, evangelism, great crusades, and doing all kind of things in the world, you know, whether naturally or spiritually. But when it comes to talking about the mysteries of God, I hardly ever hear anybody, whether preachers or laity, talking about it. Now, I don't understand that, because we are the people that were supposed to be a mysterious people, a people that was zealous of good works. Peculiar people, He said. And we were supposed to be a people, not as a mystic people. We're a people of reality. But we're supposed to be a people that are deeply involved in the great, mighty mysteries of God. See, as I said last night, it's not given to the world to know the mysteries of God. Now, think of it like this. If all I'm going to do is just learn the Bible and memorize the Bible, I'm no more than any other Bible scholar. There's people that go to college year after year for this, seminary. And if I'm just going to be someone that's going to learn to quote the Bible, there's people that can quote it verbatim. Even the devil can do that. He quoted it to Jesus. And if I'm just going to tell Bible stories and try to inspire people, that's good. I don't see anything wrong with it. But that still isn't the calling of the ministry. And when it comes to just having healing campaigns and just praying for the sick, which is a great, wonderful thing, that still doesn't get the job done. That's great because people get healed and people get inspired and people turn out because the whole world is sick. And naturally, they like for you to have prayer lines and pray for people. I like to do it because people are just sick in general. All the hospitals are filled up and running over, and people are sick today and well tomorrow. And even the righteous people, not just the ungodly people, not just the sinners, but the righteous people, Christian people, they get sick and they get well, and they get sick and they get well. And the Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. And he makes all of our beds in the time of our sickness, the Bible tells us. So then we know that, you know, what remedies we can have or whatever help we can get, that's good. The sick need a physician, and all these things help. Medicine doeth good. But folks, when you put your confidence in the doctors and in the medicine and in the hospital, you are unwise. You don't have very much reasoning, because that is the world. And the Bible said they're taken into captivity at the will of the devil, and they'll kill you. And I mean it, they'll do it in short order. So you've got to put your confidence in God, and you've got to trust God. And you can't put your confidence in medicine. You've got to put your confidence in God. You know, I don't mean this wrong, but it's like I said last night, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Do we have more confidence in the world than we do God? I feel reasonably sure if I have more confidence in the world than I do God, that he's going to let me abide with the world. And when the time comes for the change, if I don't have any confidence in God to take care of my daily needs, to supply my needs, and to do the things I need him to do, naturally, physically, and spiritually, it's for sure that I'm not going to have enough in him to translate me and take me out of this world, you know. So Jesus, when he was in his young ministry preaching, he made the statement to them. He said, isn't your body more than raiment? And isn't your life more than meat? You use your body up to obtain pretty clothing and all these things, and then your body's gone, and you have the clothing, but then what? And you use your life up to obtain meat for the belly and all these kind of things. And then when the belly is all rotten out with cancer, you have the meat. But what good is that? And you lay up your treasures in earth where thieves break through and steal and moth doth corrupt. And then if you heap all of your treasures together, then you die and leave them. And then what? And you know that life is terminal. And yet you go on to the sports of the world and the things of the world, and now somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, don't go to hitting the sports of the world. Sports of the world, that's all right. I mean, that's all right. That's for the world. I said, that's all right. That's for the world. The land of Esau, God allowed that. Oh, no, somebody says that's for the church. You know that's not right. Oh, now, you start preaching right here, you lose some of your congregation. Well, it looks like that we're at a loss. You know, the problem with the world today is they don't tell it like it is. The world says tell it like it is. They don't tell it like it is. Now, somebody says, well, I don't see anything wrong with the Olympics of today. I know, because you're blind. Somebody say amen. And if the blind lead the blind, they all go to the ball game. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Let's see if we got any saints of God out there tonight. Well, somebody says, but Brother Pike, I feel like this. I feel like we should serve God and go on with God, but I don't see anything wrong with a little ball game here and a little ball game there. I don't either. As long as it's the children. Can you give God another hand? Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. So then, those things are games. They're worldly games. And they're for little children, not for grown people. All right, so then we know that all of this thing of the world, of all of this thing of weightlifting and jogging and all of these sports and Olympics and things of the world, we know that is of the world. Somebody say amen. It's of the world. Somebody say, well, I don't believe that. Well, everybody that believes it's of heaven, say amen. I didn't mean to catch you off guard. Forgive me. I don't think you really mean that, but anyway.
It does pay to classify things, doesn't it? So that we can understand where we're going, because it's so easy to get off track in this world. The Bible said it would be so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. So then we are children of God. We do love the Lord, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, Brother Pike, what about this thing called a mystery? What about this thing called a mystery? Why should we mess with a mystery? I said last night, Paul, Peter, they exhorted us by saying, don't let anybody beguile you and turn you away from the simplicity of Christ as to the gospel, which I said is a simple thing of repenting of your sins. We believe in that. And being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sin. We believe in that, and that there's remission in none other name, and beginning in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. The gospel shall be preached in his name. We know that salvation. We know that he died for remission of sin. So it's in none other name. And it's got to be in the name, because we're baptized for remission. And if we're going to get our sins remitted, we've got to go through the name Jesus. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. And I know we use all kind of things to get around baptism, you know. I've heard philosophers, I've heard people say, well, God didn't send me to baptize because Paul said God didn't send me to baptize. So they said God didn't send me to baptize, so they don't preach baptism. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Let's grow up. All you ministers, let's grow up now. It's true, Paul said that God didn't send me to baptize, even though he did baptize, but when they got into dispute over it, he let them take care of the baptizing. He said, I plant and Apollos watereth. God gives the increase. But now, Paul didn't say, God sent me not to preach baptism. He didn't do that. He preached baptism and said, as many as baptized into Christ, put on Christ, and taught that you were to be baptized in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, at the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, in the upper coast of Ephesus, he rebaptized them. When they had been baptized, it wasn't sufficient because it had not been in the name. And they had not received the Spirit because they had not got baptized in the name, because when the Spirit comes, it comes in his name. It shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we know then, we settled that's the way of salvation. And all of this other is a bunch of heresy. Where somebody said, well, Brother Pike, surely to God you don't believe that. I do believe that. All the rest of it is heresy. Someone would say, well, you mean to tell me that all of these other people that don't go through the name Jesus won't get to heaven? I mean to tell you exactly that. Let's give the Lord a hand. There's only one door to heaven, and Christ said, I'm that door. Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. Not a half a dozen doors, just one door. Somebody said, well, don't you believe in three gods? I definitely do not. The Bible said one God, one faith, one baptism. Somebody says, well, I believe when we get there, we're going to see three gods. Well, you're believing a lie. You'll be damned. Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God's word. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. We don't need to be speaking other things. Besides that, somebody said, well, there's going to be one on the right and one on the left and one in the middle. I know that. And it's going to be Elijah and Moses and Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. I wonder where the others are going to be sitting. Jesus said, one God, I alone stretched out the heavens. I didn't have nobody to help me. Where is another God? I know not of any that's my equal. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't you want a truth? The Bible said if you don't love the truth, then he'll turn you over to your own thinking, which is a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. Whatever the Bible says, what do you think we ought to do? I think every work in the world, every denomination in the world, everybody in the world ought to repent of their sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and stop this foolishness and stop confusing people before God turns them into hell by the millions. He said, if all nations that forget God, I'll turn them into hell. All right. So then I say I'm disturbed. All of these people that are supposed to be so evasive to the lovely name of our Savior and supposed to look on some of the people who believe in the name Jesus as the underprivileged, the undereducated, and them that don't know much. How ignorant can people be? Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. You're blinded by the ignorance that's within you, which is that intellectual thing that came from the tree of knowledge. See, and leaning to your own understanding, when God said not to consider one of your thoughts, cast down imagination every thought that exalteth itself against the name of Jesus Christ and the understanding of Jesus Christ, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Cast down your imagination, he said. See, and when they look on you like that, knowing that they themselves are the ones that don't understand, and lead multitudes and multitudes into the fire, filled with lust, filled with frolic, filled with the desire of the flesh. And sad to say, folks, not only that, but they're filled with lust, the lust of the flesh, as to their ignorance, as to have sensually separated themselves from the faith of Jesus Christ. And these people are interested in the world, they're interested in the multitudes that can gather, and they're interested of getting somebody in the upper echelon of the ecclesia of the world to get somebody that will contribute to them and to their cause some kind of a false prestige from the world to cause the world to go after them. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? I'm just going to try to reason with you a little tonight. If I start off hollering and just preaching at you, I won't be able to get over very much in these meetings. And this time, I decided I was going to try to talk with you a little bit. Like Jesus did when he pushed out from the shore in the boat to settle the hillside and expounded the great, mighty Word of God. Because this meeting has great significance. So then, isn't it something? We have paid our contributions, as we say, to the great societies of the world. And Paul said, I say I to keep from seeing you. And we're the people. We have lifted up the old tree of knowledge, the institutions of the world, to the diplomacies, and measuring ourselves by ourselves, we're not wise, and seeking honor one of another, we fail to receive the honor that was given of God. And so then we got all of our great PhDs and DDs and all the things that we needed of the world. And we built all of our fabulous buildings, our steeples, we've got our high steeples on the churches, we've got our multitudes. We've got our prestige, and we've got people in the upper echelon, and we've got them in the legislative powers of today, and we're looking forward to making some of our folks president. So on and on we go, and if not, we're certainly going to have some of them that's going to be big ball stars and whatever, and on we go. And so finally we are at last obtaining our goal and coming to a great finale of the system of the house of prostitution, as I said last night. And what is it? In that Satan through the beast told Eve she was naked. He intended to do that to everyone, to strip you down, so that it can be said that the last generation would be a rebellious, contrary, cursing, drinking, smuggling, lying, cheating, bunch of dope addicts. And that he would hatch them off by the thousands out of the old institutions and strip the people down to streaking and all these kind of things as to their ball games and frolics along the beach and whatever, and sear their conscience with a hot iron and get them past feeling and get them to where they feel like they don't have to be holy in body, just in spirit, which that is a joke to say that you're holy in spirit when there's nothing that shows in your body. To say that you got faith in the Word when you go every way but the Word. And what is the great finale and that is the great finals? What is the great finale? What is the end of the matter? What did we finally obtain unto? We obtained unto a president that has turned to loose, as it was stated in a little article. When he got a hold of the key, he said, am I opening the gates to hell? And turning loose the sodomites and the drunkards and everything by saying, taking the band off of them. When we made the prediction that they would go sodomy and they would become sodomites and that God would turn them into hell, for the Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained the fire and brimstone down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and indicating that the church would go out at that time. And I said, and when they legalize it, that'll be going out time. And sure enough, I had a vision where even on Atlanta, Georgia, where everything seems to be heading up, I said, and I saw it burn with fire. And the revelation of the mystery of the great, wonderful God that has been hid in God from the foundation of the world that was to be made known to you and I for the translation has been made known to me from start to finish. I praise God for it, not because I merited, as I said last night, Paul said, by much revelation, but because it is a gift of God that was made known to me, Paul said, that it might be made known to all nations as to whatever degree it might come, that they might understand that there's something in the world today outside of the old tree of corruption, of the blind leading the blind, that they all fall into the ditch. And the Bible said the great whore is the ditch. So then we know that they have succeeded in all of their education to bringing the people of the world to be a bunch of sodomites, adulterers, fornicators, liars, and cheats, and in their offices with their supposedly ethics of life that are so precise and so great in their mannerism, they become drunkards and they become harlots and they become fornicators and they have become cheaters and liars and they have manipulated and placed the people under bondage and through the IRS has robbed them of everything that they can get. And if they didn't get it, the hospital boycotting as to what they call professional men will take you for about 3 or 4 days and charge you $10,000 to $15,000. And what they don't get, the others get, and all of the tags and license and whatever you have to buy. And you're fortunate if you have anything left for bread. Let's give the Lord a hand. And that's what the old house of prostitution has done for you. And you wouldn't listen to the preachers and you wouldn't listen to God. And you wouldn't listen to those that tried to tell you the right way and tell you the way of holiness. And years ago, they raised up boys in the field to plow and girls with their gingham dresses on that helped preserve a little something for the winter. And like the little ant, they prepared for in the summer for the winter. And they learned to be a housewife and they learned to raise children and they learned to be clean and virtuous. And men learned to be the right kind of people. They didn't mind getting a little dusty and working and making a living. And they were good neighbors and we had wonderful times. Didn't need all the prisons. Didn't have to support all the prisoners. And they didn't have all the mental institutions and all of the hospitals because we didn't have the need for all of those things as in that time. Where somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it's impossible to get by without that. Well, how is it then that God brought 3 million people out of Egypt and the Bible said not even one of them, their feet swelled. And he prepared a table before them and he rained manna down from heaven and they raised up a commonwealth in the wilderness and God was their king. So then we know that it has went to pot. It has went to seed. And now, as the little article was published a few days ago in the paper, about 97% or ever, I can't remember exactly what it was, of our girls, from a small one on up to a teenager, a good age, that all of them had played the prostitute. Over 90-something percent. And so we see that we are living in the day of the generation of prostitution. And it is an adulterous generation. It is a common thing now to have all the wives that you want. It is a common thing now not to love your husband, just love anybody at any time. And a common thing from girlfriend to girlfriend and boyfriend to boyfriend, and you just let your feelings go out and your desires go out. And it doesn't matter. People doesn't even search for fidelity anymore, nor do they look beyond the veil to see if the heart is right anymore. That doesn't matter. That's old-fashioned anymore. See, it doesn't matter. So they go on in their blindness, and they go on toward the lake of fire. I saw something, it was today, I believe it was, as I was meditating and talking to God. And as I did, I saw a woman. She looked like she might have been in her 30s, I guess. Or somewhere along in there, and she was standing like I'm standing here, and over here stood somebody beside her. I couldn't tell a whole lot about it, but this individual was a man that was standing about like this, and she's standing here, and he put his hands over like that, and he pointed like that, and this went down like this. The steps or the walkway of what it was. And I heard her say, you are not going to send me to hell. And she acted like she was so shocked because it appeared to be Jesus from what little I could tell or whoever it was representing Jesus. And she was so shocked to think, because she had worn her shorts and done all these things, that God was going to send her to hell. She was so deceived. See, compassing land and sea to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell, Jesus said. So Paul said, I've espoused you to one, even to one, Christ Jesus, as a chaste virgin, and I seek to present you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, body, soul, and spirit, without any blame whatsoever to him. So then I come again to this, the great mystery. The Bible speaks of Revelation 10 and 7, and in the days of the voice, the mystery of God should be finished. So then the mystery of God continued from the time of Paul, when Paul confessed this mystery, this great mystery. I guess Dave stepped off the platform, but anyway, wherever he's at, I wanted him to step up here just for a minute, and I just wanted him to read, or just, if he doesn't want to read, at least just run down the line of three or four scriptures for you to read when you get home. And that way it won't take up a lot of time here, but if he feels to read in, that's fine. But just jot these down in your memory or write them down. And I want you, just these few times that I jotted down, places where he spoke of the mystery, to let you know that we're just not talking to be talking. There is a mystery. And this mystery was given to Paul as Christ within Paul to go get a bride for Christ Jesus. Now, Dave, can you do that out of those? I would like for you to read them, if you don't mind. If you don't mind listening, folks, I'd like for him just to read two or three of these. And I'm just taking my time tonight talking to you. You know, we can get real exuberant and go to demonstrating and whatever, but I know this has to do with the translation. That's the only reason that I'm in here at this particular time. Now, because they'd wanted us to come overseas, and my heart is overseas with the people because of their lack, their hunger and thirst, naturally and physically and spiritually. And our literature is going around the world. It's booming around the world. And they're begging, just begging for us to come. Just one or two little tracts. We get reports like a few days ago where they said, Brother Pike, we got one of your books or whatever. And he said it's just causing a floodlight, even on water baptism. And said, just so many, many people from different providences, and they're pouring in. And one said, and over here we got some literature, and said, Brother Pike, like overnight, 3,000 people gathered and said, we want to be part of this wonderful ministry. And they said, you're telling us things that we never know before. So then with the ministry and all the ministers in the foreign field, our literature is still scoring a great, wonderful victory and stirring those people, and people are healed. We get writings from letters that says, Brother Pike, I know that this woman was afflicted. I know she was sick, and yet she's been healed. I know that she was. And this is the wonderful reports that we're getting. And the great revelation of Jesus Christ is moving on. And that is the thing that we need to know. If you don't know it, you need to start getting into it. You need to find out about it. It's no wonder that people have gone to ball games and all these kinds of sports and Olympics and eating and drinking and marrying. It's because they're idle, they're at ease. And the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. One will cometh and then another will cometh. And see, they're not doing anything and they don't have a vision. And because of that, without a vision, the people perished. So then you need to get your eyes open, and you need to get away from this foolishness of trying to be some great minister of some great something and manifest yourself to the world and go out there and take the ministry of Jesus Christ and win souls. And give your heart and life to him and stop your foolishness. You ministers especially. And stop confusing the flock. And the flock needs to stop this foolishness of just dressing out, doing any old way, and just going any way and feeling it's going to be all right. For the Bible said to that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not, said he'll be beaten with many stripes. And folks, you know a whole lot, and a whole lot's going to be required of you. And all of these others that's going on with these denominational things of the world, whether it's in the Jesus name churches or whatever they want to call them, or the non-denominational, or the charismatics, or whatever, the Trinity denomination, forget about all of that kind of thing. And get the word of God and be an example to the people, and God will bring his little flock out. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure
to give you the kingdom. That doesn't mean there's just going to be a few people in God. But what it does mean, it's going to be few, comparatively speaking, of the great masses and multitudes that God said would be turned into hell. David said, I saw them go to the place of God. I saw them come from the place of the holy, and I saw them turned into hell. And the multitudes were turned into hell. So these four scriptures, I don't know what they are. My wife today was marking them. While I was talking to God, and I thought maybe I'd just get David to remind you of it, that you might read just these few scriptures or hear David read them tonight and understand that we're supposed to be a people that's looking for a mystery. You don't have any desire. You don't have any hunger. You don't have any thirst toward these things. And because of that, you are like the Jews. You've missed your day of visitation, and your houses are left unto you desolate until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. When they awoke, they saw his glory, and they didn't see his glory until they awoke.
To begin with, over in the book of Romans, chapter 16, 25th and 26th verse. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Over in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, the 7th verse, says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 3 through 9, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Revelations, chapter 10, verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Skipping on down to same chapter, verses 26 and 27, says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Going over to the second chapter of Colossians, verses 2 and 3, that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. Now, I only did that so that you could stop and think, to realize that we're not here just talking about something to be talking, just to say something to be saying it. We're talking about the mystery of Christ. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that the Bible says this about the mystery. I know that.
Now, well, that's fine. If you do, that's fine. And if you're in the mysteries, that's fine. If you're not, there's something wrong with you. If you don't have a hunger and thirst after God, there's something wrong with you. Because the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after Christ, Jesus, shall be filled. And if you don't have this hunger and thirst, there's something wrong with you. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, we've got plenty of time to do these things, you know. And we're going along and God loves us and God's with us and we're shouting, we're praising God. And we're looking to all these things is happening. God's helping us. We're prophesying, we're praying for the sick and whatever. That's not the mysteries of God, folks. Somebody say hallelujah. Say amen. All right, just let me know you're up to that song. Now, see, that means that there's something else to do. What is it? Hunger and thirst after the great, wonderful, unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Somebody would say, well, what is the mystery, Brother Pike? Like I was in a terminal not too long ago. I was in a bus terminal, and David and the Giants that sing together, some singers that's pretty famous around the country, they come down the terminal in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was sitting over here, me and my wife. I think I was sitting on top of one of my suitcases. I don't like to get in the midst of all the people, all of their talk, cursing, and whatever, evil communications, corrupt good manners. And all of a sudden, here come about four guys, and they walk up to me. And one says, aren't you Brother Pike? I said, yeah. And they said, well, we recognized you by the literature that we've received. And said, this revelation, Brother Pike, this revelation said, we just got to have it. I said, well, that's great. That's wonderful. They said, well, give it to us, give it to us. Said, we've only got about 30 minutes to get out of here and get to New York for our show, but said, give it to us. I just sat there and looked at them. See, and this is the frame of mind that the world's in today. They say, this revelation, man, get up there and preach that thing. You got 45 minutes. Anybody could get whatever they want to say over in 45 minutes. Now, we understand that it takes maybe 14 years to ever get into school and get out of school and get college and get lined up and whatever. But now we're talking about the mystery. 45 minutes ought to do it. Folks, don't you know that's ignorance? Do you realize that the mystery itself, the one thing about the mystery is that the Bible said all of the invisible things of God, all of the invisible things of God from the foundation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we won't be fussing about it. Or, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Somebody said, well, nobody can understand the Godhead. Oh, yes, they can. There ain't but one problem that keeps you from understanding the Godhead. And that is because you're vainly puffed up by some intellectual something of old wives' fable. Look on the mountain. When Jesus was on the mountain over there and three of them appeared there, I wish we had time to really preach tonight, you know. Paul preached all night long. That'd be enough time to get started. But did you know that on that mountain, when Peter said he was scared half to death, he didn't know what to say. When Jesus appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah, and he said, Lord, let us build three tabernacles. But the voice from heaven, when the cloud overshadowed them, said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him, or this is him in whom I am well pleased. Or as the original at the baptism, in him I am pleased to dwell. Him, the fullness of God in that one body. And he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Or that means there ain't no other human body of God. Jesus Christ alone dwells in that light, that one light, that great light, that one Jesus dwells within the light of Almighty God, and no man has ever seen God at any time. No man can approach God at any time or ever has approached that great light. And Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light has declared God. From out of the bosom of God comes the great, wonderful Christ. So that we know that when the voice said one tabernacle, all the others went away. All of them went away. See, the law is from me and the prophets is from me, Jesus said. He said, I'm God all by myself. I'm God alone. How can we confuse our mind as to know to who to pray to and what to pray to and all these other things? Somebody said, well, what about God the Father and God the Holy Ghost? Well, what about God the Father and God the Holy Ghost? What about him? Somebody said, well, you tell us about him. You're the preacher. That's what I want to do. Praise God for the open hearts. open mind. So then what about him? It was the Holy Ghost that Mary conceived of. It was the Holy Ghost. You know that, that Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost. And you know that when a woman conceives of whoever she conceives of as to the semen, you know that's the child of the individual that she conceived of. We know that as human beings. What makes us think it would be any difference? If she conceived of the Holy Ghost, then the one that was born of her was the Holy Ghost. That is the child of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah. Then who is Jesus' father? The Holy Ghost. Come on, folks, say amen. Or tell me to shut up, do something up there. See, you understand what I'm saying? If she conceived of the Holy Ghost, then his father was the Holy Ghost. Say amen. And that means he's got one father, and that's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that means if that's his father, then where is there another father? Come on. Why do you need another one sitting on the throne? Is the Holy Ghost going to be two fathers? Oh no. Just one. Isn't that right? Who was that in Jesus? Didn't it say the fullness of God was in Christ? For God giveth not the Spirit unto the Son by measure. Wasn't that the fullness of God? Doesn't he look at all the world through the blood? And all of the world has to come to him through the blood? And he won't do nothing outside of the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, if that be true, then how many gods have we got? Somebody say it loud and clear. One God, hallelujah, one God, one God, one God, one faith, and one baptism, hallelujah, that's all, in the name of that one God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Come on, folks, say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah, that's why we praise the Lord, is because he is God Almighty. Hallelujah, and I'm going to say something here that's going to, it's going to bother you, it's going to bother you, and maybe it won't, I don't know. I said last night, I said the one thing that God was trying to do as to the beginning and why he made man was to make man God. To make man God. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. I appreciate that back, and I appreciate that strength. See, to make man God. What did he want to do? He wanted to make Adam God. But that was Mrs. Adam. Amen. That was Mrs. Adam. I said last night he gave us a typical example by taking Eve out of Adam, knowing that we could not see into the spiritual world until we come to the understanding of it, to give us a symbolic thing with man and woman. Paul said, who are one, the secret concerning Christ and the church. The mystery. Now, symbolic. All right. So then when we think of this thing and we understand then that the spirit is masculine and the body is feminine, and we understand that Adam was illuminated with this great wonderful light, the mind, the understanding. See, and would not have gone to the tree of knowledge, but the weakness of the woman who strayed off from Adam to the extent like a little girl that was a virgin and a little girl that didn't know nothing about nothing. That fallen angel, Satan, in his cunning craftiness, he hath today done the same thing as he did to Eve. He betrayed her, he beguiled her, he defiled her, he took advantage of her and told her that she was naked. And when she went back to her husband, she told him that he was naked, and these thoughts went into their minds and corrupted their mind. And then after that, when birth come, a lot of times there was a Jacob and an Esau where there'd never been anything like that. There had never been anything like that. God was love. He said, your eye of understanding, if your eye is single, your body is full of light. And he said, love, God is love, not to produce after lust, not to marry after lust, but to produce after love. There's two powers in the world today, lust and love. One of them is the angel of Christ, and one of them is the angel of Lucifer. And the thing of the angel of Lucifer is the power of lust from the tree of knowledge, of intellectual reasoning in the educational system of today. It's the love of the world. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. But he said, you that are born again, the kingdom of God, which is the love of God on the inside of you, is there. And faith worketh by that love. even the faith which is by Jesus Christ. I wish we had time just to speak on the mystery of the faith. Because to us, as a rule, the thing that we think is our faith in God, our faith in God, and that's wonderful. We have to have faith in God. The Bible said that we should save ourselves from this untoward generation as to this bodily sept denial. But folks, that's not how we're saved. We're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that as Paul, being a Jew, said, and we were under tutors, we were under the schoolmaster, even the law, to bring us unto the faith which is by Jesus Christ. But now that the faith has come, we're not under the tutors anymore. We're not under the tutors anymore. The faith, and he said, Paul, I've given you a revelation. Turn my people from darkness, this intellectual ignorance, and turn them unto light, which is the mind of understanding, which is the light of God. Saying concerning Moses, and when they saw that of Moses, Paul, they could not look steadfastly to the end of that which is abolished. Or to say that is that light that came over Moses' face, they could not look at that. They were afraid they'd die. So they put a veil over the face of Moses. And there they would look through the veil. God had come to Moses, and Moses had walked in that light, had at least seen the hinder part. And when you say the hinder part, you're talking about from Calvary all the way back to Genesis, and wrote us a record and give us a record of Genesis, which the world hasn't even been able to do. With all the philosophers, all of the educational system, all of the great knowledge and the learning, they can't go no farther than Egypt. And when they get down in Egypt with the hieroglyphics and a few things down there, that's their foundation of learning and education. And the scholars and science knowledge, falsely so called, the word science being knowledge, falsely so called, and they start the educational system and run everybody back to the old Egyptian way of life. That's what we're doing here now. See, this is a great symbol of Egypt, this thing in Memphis. We said that years ago in the Revelation, and sure enough, they come and they built the pyramid and then got to dealing with the statue of Ramesses and all these kind of things. See, and it's over here. We're over here now because it's symbolic of Egypt and the old Egyptian civilization all over the world. And the Bible said, out of Egypt I've called my son. That's why we're here, out of Egypt, out of the educational system, out of the old hieroglyphics, out of the theological seminaries of life, trying to be theologians. We're not theologians. We're not trying to get to be DDs as doctors of divinity. We're not trying to get to be theologians. It's like a Catholic priest come to me, a great learned man you've heard me speak of numbers of times, and this great learned priest that had studied over in Italy, had studied in New York, had been a priest for many years, and come into my house, and when we had the little difference and dispute with him about the name Jesus as it was with the Jewish rabbi over in Israel. See, and when we said something to him, I looked at him, I said, sir, could I ask you a question? And he said, why, sure. He said, I just had to stop by this place. I've been curious for years. And I said, you are a Catholic priest? Yes. And in his robe. And I said, and being a Catholic priest, of course you believe in the great Catholic Church. He said, I do. And had been a teacher in it for a long time. I said, and do you do believe that the Pope is at the head of the Catholic Church? He said, I do. And I said, and I'd like to ask you one question. He said, all right. I said, do you believe that Peter was the first Pope? He said, I do. And the successors of that as to the keys to the kingdom and this kind of thing. I said, well, sir, could you tell me why that the latter church of today and the great papacy of today has erred so far away from the teachings of the first pope? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, in Acts 2:38, it's recorded that all should repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins, said by the pope. Somebody say hallelujah. If he was the pope. And the man was so tore up until he didn't know how to answer me. And I told you before, he was so tore up until finally he said, lo and behold, the whole Catholic Church is an error. and said, "Would you baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ?" And the next thing I know, he was in Canada disputing in the councils with the Catholic people. Now, out of the Catholic Church, what happened? There came Martin Luther, the Protestant, who decided the just should live by faith, coming straight out as a monk from the Catholic Church and from Germany as to Nice, where this thing is going back to, if we just had a little time to talk about it. See, and all the world has gone after that same system that was set up in Nice, Germany. Now, what does this mean? All of the world is an error. All the world is strayed away from the Word. The world is in that condition. And here we are, the saints of God. Come out of her. Come out of Egypt. Come out of that old system of the Catholic Church. Come out of that old Babylonian system that come all the way from the days of Nimrod and from Egypt way over here to that time of that Pergamos church age over there, to come down there in with the Etruscans according to history, and set up a kingdom of something that was contrary to God, that's nothing but a Babylonian thing that is a grief to God, to bring about the great whore that John saw setting upon many waters. Here we are in Memphis, a symbolic thing right here to show something that's happening. Seeing we're seeing these things so fast and many things, introducing so many things, it'd be hard for you to understand because it would take many hours as we do sometimes teaching these things. Now, so what are we doing? It's a Babylon. It's just like I said, all of this thing about the teachings of three gods, that's a Babylon. Somebody said, "Well, I don't believe that." When I was in Michigan preaching there, and I preached at a Church of God, a great big theater building of a Church of God, and God done some healings there and some outstanding things, and God blessed us there. And in doing it, the Church of God preached, his wife was healed. And then he come to me when he began to believe, and he said, "You know, Brother Pike," he said, "what you're preaching is clear to me." He said, "All of my life in my ministry, I've been confused. Said, I never have known whom to pray to." Said, "They teach three gods, and I never did know who to pray to." And said, "When you brought it out, I understand now. I understand. It's clear. That means it's a Babylon thing. All of it's a Babylon thing." You say, "Brother Pike, do you believe that those people are Babylonians?" No, I believe a lot of those people are God peoples, and they're caught in there. And they're caught in the Babylonian system. Somebody said, "Well, I think they're going to heaven." Well, you believe a lie and be damned. They're not going to heaven. I'm here to tell you. Somebody said, "Oh, no, you don't know." Oh, yes, I do know. I was sent of God. I was told. Oh, somebody said, "Well, you couldn't know." But I do know. Hallelujah. The Bible said, "Well, how much do you know?" The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Is that enough? Somebody say hallelujah. We've got the mind of Christ, and God said, "Whatever has been made known unto my Son, I've made known unto you." All right. So then we do know that we've passed from death unto life. We do know that we're children of God. We do know where we've been. We do know where we're coming from, and we do know what we're doing. So the old Babylonian system, they can't go back. They can't go back in history any farther than Egypt. And every time that they get ready to go beyond that, they have to go to the Bible and acknowledge the Bible as the writings of Moses, where God gave it to him in Genesis, which means beginning. Or they have to jump over that and go back in their billions of years with their foolishness, talking about all the dinosaurs and all the vertebrates and all of these things, or the nebula mask, and like the mama making biscuits, one spun off and another, and Jupiter and Pluto's and all this kind of thing from the gases that form, but they can't tell you where the gases come from. Let's give the Lord a hand. There wasn't no place for them to come from, but they had to get back there and try to explain it, which is a bunch of foolishness. So the Bible tells us exactly the way it is. And I just said those things by way of remembrance. A lot of you know those things. So why go to the heresy and the theological things and take theory when you've got facts? We're not trying to theorize anything. We've got biblical facts from the very beginning, and we know that we belong to God, and we know that God has done something for us, and we are children of God, and we're the leaders of God, and the legislative powers of the world today are the sons of God, which is going to rule with a rod of iron, and all of this other thing, it's nothing at all. And when I say this might be shocking to some of you. We don't have a government anymore. Come on, folks. I said, we don't have one. Someone would say, well, certainly we do. We have our legislative powers. We have our senators, our representatives as to the House of Senate. We have a president. We have all these things. I don't care what you've got. You don't have a government anymore. Somebody said, well, where do you get that? What kind of derivative is that, Brother Pike? It's simple. God is the government. God started the government. God set up the first law. He set up the first thing as the commonwealth. He set everything in order, and he gave the Jews the law, and there is no government without law. You study law to become senators and sheriffs and presidents and whatever. And that is your law. And the law comes from the Jews. You can trace it down. Your law today has been perverted and manipulated. They've used it to put you in bondage as the children of God, down the Egyptian bondage of the world civilization that was shown during the time of the Jewish people, which was symbolic as to the mystery of what was happening to the spiritual Jew as in the latter times or would happen. Now, in this, we see that the only power is God as to government. And when they shifted Mr. Bush out, who believed in God and was doing something for God to the extent of his level of understanding, then the government went out. And that was the end of it. And did you know what? Something great and mighty happened right there that I was privileged to be to know. God made me to understand it. But when it went out, do you remember the woman that comes in? She says that, I don't want to be a lady. Now, where did the lady go? Ms. Bush was considered a lady by many nations. We've always had a woman that was the first lady, and we spoke of America as being our lady. Where did the lady go? When Ms. Bush went out, down in Texas, a symbolic thing of the child being born in the woman in the wilderness, and Israel, the wilderness was a desert. Wish we had time to go into it. It's a close quarter. What is it? Like when the Chinese leader come over here, when Jimmy Carter was in office, hundreds and thousands of things in the mystery to be said about these things, and we have said many thousands of things about these things, thousands of things, and of course a lot of them are on tape, a lot of them in conversation 5 hours and 9 hours at the time, talking to some of the brethren in a closed circuit or quarters. See, what is it? Something great and mighty in the spirit world has been taking place. And people have missed it. They've not had any interest in it. Being sufficed as to the prodigal, to fill their belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Jesus said anything outside of the sons of God are dogs and they're swines. And they wallow in the mire of the world. And they lap their vomit in all that's of the world is the pride of life. The lust of the flesh and the world and all that's in it passes away. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if that be the case, if all the world passes away and all that's in the world passes away, then that means all of us is going to pass away. Oh, no. Why? Because we're not in the world. The Bible said you're not in the world. I've chosen you out of the world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution or the restoring of all things. Let's give God a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. So, men, where is the lady? Where is the government? It shifted. And my, when Colin retired and that Nazi went in his place, if you could only know the thousands of things that's attached to the government of today and how beautiful it is in Revelation and how that we've brought it out through the Spirit of Almighty God, every jot and tittle, step by step, as to where it came from, where it went to, where it's at right now, where it's going to in the future, as to Europe, and where it's going to, back to Israel. And it shows every step of it precisely of what has happened down through the centuries and what is happening and where you're at and who you are and what you are. And my, it is glorious. And let me tell you this, folks, you'll never get to heaven on what you call your faith. You're going to have to get the faith of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, contend for the faith of Jesus Christ, which was once delivered unto the saints. Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light and bring them out of the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of light. See, and turn them unto the faith, which is by Jesus Christ. Which faith? As to this faith by which they are sanctified. And the Bible said God has sanctified once and for all the believers in Christ by this faith, by the offering up of the Son of God. And them that he hath sanctified, he hath called, he hath justified, he hath predestinated, and he hath glorified, and that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, for they are elect according to God's foreknowledge. All of his works are known unto him from the beginning. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And before the children were ever born into the world, God said this, that it might not stand by works, but by election as to foreknowledge. Peter said, ye are God's elect by foreknowledge, and that it was to stand by that, that there would be no rejoicing in anybody's works, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, if it's of works, we have wherein to rejoice in our own abilities. But if it be not of works, then do we give God the glory, and that it is with the heart, as I said last night, that we believe unto this wonderful righteousness of God, not going about with our foolishness to establish our own righteousness, and trusting within our own skill and abilities, for that's where the world is today. Trusting in their own knowledge, their own ability, trying to figure this world out, the word out without going to the Spirit, written by holy men of God inspired. It must be interpreted the same way. How can he preach lest he be sent? And the world is trying to teach it through seminaries and all these kind of intellectual things and making people twofold more the child of hell as a proselyte. Now, so then we know that it is by faith of Jesus Christ. And we know that it is a finished work in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know in trying to establish their own righteousness, the same error the Jews made, that the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, Jesus said, and that Solomon saw him in the dark of the intellectual, knocking at the door and couldn't get in as to the heart's door. I knock. If you'll open to me, I'll come in and sup with you. And therefore he was out in the intellectual thing of the world. And he couldn't get in the teachings of God as he projected himself through the songs of Solomon. So that means that's why that God has turned all of it into lasciviousness. That's why that they've gone to ball games and sports and along the beaches and all these other things mixed up with the world, and you can't tell one from another. God did it to let them know that they didn't have any work. Like Peter, when Peter stood over there and Peter cursed and he denied that he even knew the Lord. He denied and cursed. And the Lord in love looked at him and said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. See, his works had already failed. He didn't have any works. But by faith in God, he said, Peter, you can be converted. And when you are converted, then strengthen the brethren. And sure enough, when Pentecost came, he got filled with the Spirit of God. And after that, he was converted to Christ and strengthened the brethren. Now, somebody said, but Brother Pike, what about these great revivals? What about all of this healing? What about all of these experiences? The Bible said the last days God would pour out of his Spirit upon the tare and upon the wheat. And he said, and your sons and daughters would prophesy. And your young men would see visions, and your old men would dream dreams. And on my handmaidens in that day, I'll pour out of my Spirit, they'll prophesy. Didn't he say that? Didn't Balaam see visions? Falling into a trance with his eyes open, he said, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Saul prophesy? Didn't all these great things happen? Didn't 70 of these great men with Jesus, didn't they cast out devils? And didn't they come and say, Lord, the devils are subject unto us in your name? But he said, rejoice not because of that, but rather because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the whole 70 fell away. And the whole 70 left him. And then he turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? And they said, to where shall we go? Whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. What are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying in the Old Testament, Balaam didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying Saul didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Balaam was called a soothsayer. And Saul went up to Ramah Gilead with murder in his heart to kill David at the time he was doing all the prophesying. He said that they'd have all these experiences. But without my spirit, you're none of mine. And there's only one spirit, and that's the great Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, for God is the spirit of holiness. And without my spirit, you are none of mine, he said. I don't care what kind of experiences you've had. I don't care who you think you are, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever, what kind of thing you've accomplished in the world. It has nothing to do with it. If you have His Spirit, you are His. And if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. And if you have His Spirit, you are sealed in with God in your spirit, translated into the marvelous kingdom of God by new birth. And you can't sin. And you can never sin. You never will sin. There's no such thing to you as sin. He that sinneth is of the devil. He's never known God and he's never seen God. And if you go after the things of the world, you've got the love of the world in you. And if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Not there. Not there. You that are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ and the kingdom of God within you. He that is born of God cannot sin. You keep yourself and the evil one toucheth you not. You are born of God. Didn't Jesus come to make an end of sin? My, what we could say here. Just for a few quick minutes. It's hard for us to accept this. That there was only 500 years approximately from the time of Daniel till the end of the world. Only 500 years, 490 years to be exact. Only 490 years, and that was the end of the world. This is why Peter said, "And ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come at the time of Calvary," and said, "The old world passed away by water. Now, ye are the people that the ends of the world have come upon, as to Calvary." And then he spoke of another time and said, "And in that day," speaking of the end, "and the world shall pass away with fire." 2,000 years and the water world passed away. 2,000 years and the blood world passed away. 2,000 years, and folks, this is shocking but true, we are a little over 2 months down to the end of the church ages, and the government has gone out, and the lady, first lady, is missing, and the government is no more, and now the change is here from the government of the new world of what's called America to let us know that it's all over and the great empires of the world is at an end, and now the children of God are going to rise and take the kingdoms of this world and possess it forever and ever. And I wish we had time to say some things concerning the government and Mr. Bush and others that positively shows it. And there's just 2 months, a little over 2 months. And the beginning of next year is the first year of tribulation of the 7 years. And the church has to go out at the beginning of the tribulation, which leave just a little over 2 months. Somebody would say, "What are you talking about? Brother Pike, are you telling me that you know when the church is going out?" The Bible said we'll know when it's nigh, even at the door. How close is it when somebody grabs the knob and rattles the knob? How much do you know about their entrance when it's at the door? Somebody said, "Oh no, Brother Pike, God emphatically stated it would come upon us like a thief." God never emphatically stated no such thing. You just don't understand your Bible. He said, "To the contrary, ye are children of light," which means understanding. "That day shall not come upon you unaware, for ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door." Someone would say, "Now, to the world, it's like a thief in the night. They're in the darkness. Intellectually, we're not. We're watching for the coming of the Lord, like men to keep our candles lit and our flames burning. A light so that men shall see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven." Now, so somebody would say, "Well, then you say," I'm saying it could be another year, it could be 10 years, it could be 100 years, it might not have nothing to do with next year. But I'm saying this, that the calendars show that you are now ending the last year before the beginning of the tribulation. Now, somebody said, well, you can't go by calendars. I know that. The Bible said Antichrist has offset the dates. Julius Caesar, different ones. Leap year, all these kind of things. But I do know one thing. I do know that it's close, not even at the door. And I do know one thing. I know that the calendars showed the 2,000 years that went out. And it was pretty close on time. And I do know that the calendar showed the next 2,000 years, world in the plurals, when it went out. And I do know that the calendars has shown the last 2,000 years pretty accurate so far as to going out. And scientists is already predicting that within the radius and confines of this 7 years that there's going to be a tilting up of the earth upright. And they don't understand this is exactly what's going to happen. Now, folks, if we had time to preach tonight and time to teach tonight and time to elaborate a little bit, then we could say something. I only brought that in because we are so filled with lethargy, so filled with unconcern, so overconfident, so determined to make our goals and do our childish thing that no matter what the preacher says, no matter what the great Holy Spirit says, no matter what God says to us, we catalog that in our little briefcase or our computer or our memory bank and we go on our way, same as all other sermons. But when we realize that the time has run out, my, what we could say concerning Calvary and the fullness of time. These things are on tape. Numbers of them where we preached them. Taught a little bit here and there. Now, mostly around home as to these tapes. And to teach these things. But now the time is here. See, and so we're over here at this place. Now, what is it? God's stride was to do one thing. To make man God. And when Eve miscued on it, it indicated Adam's flesh. But Adam listened to her and the Shekinah was gone. He was no longer called the Son of God. The great light of the mystery lifted. And that light as to the Son of God Himself that was before the world ever was, it returned at Calvary to come into you and not illuminate you, but to pick you up and to come into you to do what God started out to do. And what was that? To make Adam God. And so the second man, Adam, came, the man. The second man, Adam, came, the man. The spiritual one, Mr. Adam. And the Spirit personified Himself in that man and made Adam God. Let's give the Lord a hand. And today, you are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. And God succeeded in doing that. And He said, making man God as He is, so are you in Him, a complete, finished product of perfection by the works that He done for you and in your behalf. And Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of the image of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made of Himself no reputation, but He did say, he that be perfect shall be as his God. And the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And they're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That's the church He's coming after. And all we ever had to preach to them was the word to reveal the mysteries that God hath by faith of Jesus Christ saved them and is only using their faith as an acknowledgement. We get hung up on faith. And it's only an acknowledgement that you hear the word and acknowledge the word as to a confidence toward God. John said, doing the things that please God, hereby we assure our heart to have confidence, and that is faith in His faith that wrought this great, wonderful salvation for us. And so then, faith by hearing, and when you come to hear, understand to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, going on to the full reward to bring forth fruits unto perfection to Christ. Then we begin to understand what the translation is and what it's all about and what God is trying to tell us. So these few little things tonight as we're coming here to try to share with you. Now, it means that we better do something, folks, and we better do something quick. We better run for our lives. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I've not got started in my ministry yet. I've not done what I wanted to do. No, and you're never going to do it because you're in a carnal mind.
And like the song there, they sing, the girls sing one of our songs called The Chief Cornerstone. And in that song, it teaches that you're trying to do it on your own. And it won't never work. It's like I said last night, you're never going to live a Christian life. Never going to live a Christian life without Christ in you. I want to repeat this one more time, folks. One more time. That it takes a lion spirit to live a lion's life. It takes a man spirit to live a man's life. It takes a God spirit to live a God life. And if you're going to live for Christ and be like Christ, you're going to have Christ's spirit. And all of the works that you're trying to do to get to heaven isn't worth 15 cents. But what Christ does within you as the nature of the tree that's full of life, even Christ's trees, the Bible speaks of, as that nature within you manifests the love of God and the desire to be about His Father's business and producing the fruits of Him who is the Spirit of love and peace and kindness and godliness, brotherly love, and all these kind of things, it will be the works unto salvation as the proof of Christ in you. And if He's in you, then you've had your spirit translated into His spirit. Like the safeguard and the garment you can't see in, you're translated into the kingdom as to the inner man. And Peter said, this man that's in this tabernacle. And God is the Spirit. See, and I said this so many times in talking. It is easy to understand that an animal begets animals. And human beings beget human beings, and birds beget birds, and gods beget gods. You love the Lord? How many said they're born of God? Let me. How many is born of God? What does that make you? A god. How can you say that? Jesus said, have I not called ye gods? When they wanted to stone Him, just because He said, I'm the Son of God? Is it not written in the Scriptures, I've called ye gods? Sure. That's what it is. That was His plan from the start, folks, to make the God family. And He remembers in particular that great, mighty God family. And He put everything under you, giving you all power over the powers of the enemy. Satan can't harm you. Nothing that he has is power over you. Your angel is a little lower than the angels as to your strength. To a feminine gender, but Christ's spirit, the masculine, interwoven with your spirit, makes you the father of spirits, makes you the God over all spirits. God, I say this in closing, has given Himself to Christ in the full measure. And today, when you use faith, God is obligated to answer your prayer. Remember this now. He is obligated. Somebody says God isn't obligated to a man. No, but He's obligated to Christ. And it's not you living, but Christ. And you're a bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. It's not just Christ in you as to the hope of glory. But Paul said, in this life I live in my flesh. I live it by the Son of God, that this heavenly treasure is to be made manifest in my mortal genes. Now, Christ in you, the hope of that glory. So He is obligated. He cannot fail to do it. It's impossible for Him not to do it. If you believe, He has to do it. Somebody says, but He don't have to do it. But He fixed it to where He did have to do it. Not so that because He felt He would fail, or that He might not think of it, or He might forget it. But He did it so that you and your little intellectual means of reasoning could understand and have some confidence as to something, because Satan harasses your mind and presses on you all the time to cause unbelief. So you can look and say, but I know that He can't help but do it. He's got to do it. He's obligated to do it. He said to Jesus, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. Then He said to you, say what you will and it'll be done. Tell the mountain to move. You are over the world. I've given you all things in Christ Jesus. You're over the entire world. You say it. You call it. Whatever it is, that's the way it is, Adam. So He's got to do it. What does that mean to us, Brother Pike? That means if you refuse to doubt, there's no possible way that you can fail to get what you want. Ask what you will. Don't doubt. Decree it in your heart. Say it, it'll be done. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. So then, what does that mean? What does that mean to us? It means that we can rest with a sure hope because he can swear by no greater. He swear by himself, saying, I will bless thee, multiplying, I will multiply thee. So then he confirmed it with an oath. So children of God, you just remember this one thing. If you don't get what you want, it's because you are doubting. You're not believing. Somebody said, well, I can't help but doubt. You can't help but doubt because there's something warring against your mind. Satan trying to keep that body. He doesn't want to go out into the dry places. And he's warring against you. I say so often, if I told you something, you'd believe what I told you. But you wouldn't have any war against that. Anything in the world, you could believe it. But when you go to believe something in God, you got the devil's warring against your mind. Constant warfare, the thoughts being the means. Accusing or excusing one another. Even to the fulfillment of the law. So then it's very evident that that's where your problem is in the doubting. But when you come to a big conviction of heart that if I do the best I can, I'll confident my heart to God, and he's already given me all things in Christ Jesus. And that confidence is faith that he hears me. So I've got everything I want, John said. And this means that I've come to the conviction that God cannot fail to give it. God cannot refuse me. It's impossible for him to do it. He can't do it. His word can't be altered or changed. He give it to Christ Jesus. Christ is that word. That word is God himself. And he said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. So then, beloved friend, you know tonight that if you don't give up, the devil's got to give up. If you don't waver over it, and why should you waver? If you know for sure, you know, you can waver. If you say, well, I don't know whether I'm good enough or not. It's not by works. I don't know whether I've fasted enough. Has nothing to do with it. Wherefore have we fasted? Say they long fasted. The Old Testament didn't take no knowledge. See, loose the bands of wickedness. Let the hunger be fed. This is my fast. All right, let's stand together. So then that means that you've got it now. Latch on to it. Don't waver. Don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense and reward. Just lock in on it and say, well, my God, if he can't, I've got it settled in my heart. No more confusion. It don't matter what the devil says to me. It doesn't matter what he attacks my mind with. Paul said that body is dead and you are free from that body. The veil's been rent between the body and the spirit. That's what the temple rending was, is making his death twain as to the body as to the temple rain twain too. See, you are now dead in the body. Oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, oh wretched man that I am? I can't get this thing to perform. I have a desire on the inside, but this thing on the outside, there's something talking through my senses and attacking my heart and my mind, warring against the mind of my liberty on the inside, which is my faith and my freedom through Christ and what he did for me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, the law couldn't do it. My body was weak, couldn't perform it. God sent his son in the image of sin. Now he's condemned sin in the flesh. There's no more sin to the flesh. Every sin is without the body, except the sin of fornication. He that sinneth the sin of fornication sinneth against his body, which means woman comes out of man. And when you do that, you're actually sinning against your own flesh. See, and that sin is still without the body. It's a spiritual thing that you've done against the body. So every sin is without the body. He's done away with the body because of the weakness of the woman, and that Satan got through the flesh. God done away with that. Now, if there's no sin to your flesh, then the Bible said on the inside, grieve not the Holy Spirit, by which you are sealed unto the day of the change of the body, the redemption of the body. For I've sealed you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You can't sin, and darkness can't get near that light. You're sealed in with light. Light eradicates darkness. And it can't get near your dwelling. All these things will fall around you. And you're without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not.
So then, justified, sanctified, predestinated, elect according to foreknowledge. And you are perfected forever, made perfect forever. And you're not waiting to be translated. You are not waiting to be raptured. The word rapture is a besetting word. I'm telling you over again. You're not waiting for those things. You that have been born again are already in the kingdom of God. God is a spirit. He's looking at your spirit. Your body profited nothing. It's dead. He is a spirit. He has come back. Jesus said, I will return the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me. The world shall not see me, but ye shall see me, for I shall be in you. He's coming back in the heavens. Every eye shall behold him. They that crucified him shall ne'er look upon him. They in the heart of the earth, under the earth, they that are in the world and they that are in heaven, everything in heaven, in earth, and under the earth shall praise and glorify God. So in this, you are altogether perfect. How many of you believe you're perfect tonight? You are perfect tonight. Now, you are already in the kingdom of God tonight. How many believe that? I didn't get enough out of that. All right, if you're already in the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God? It is the kingdom of heaven. Then you mean you're already in heaven. Come on, folks. Already in heaven, absolutely. You're already translated into the kingdom of God, into the marvelous kingdom of God. You're already in heaven. So then that you're already in heaven, what are we waiting for? Come on. Somebody said, well, the rapture. All right. What does the word rapture mean? It's not biblical terms. It's something that strode the world for a loop. Somebody's waiting around and said, well, I believe in the Lord. That doesn't mean anything. The Bible said if you believe in one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. But faith without works is dead. What is the works? Christ Jesus within you. If you have not the works of God, going about to establish their own righteousness, they stumble at the works of God, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. With my heart, I believe in His works. I believe unto righteousness. With my lips, I confess from my heart. Salvation. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on the Lord. Be baptized, Paul. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. For the minister can remit your sins. And you can be baptized for the remission of sin. And you can be filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. For remission is in His name. So tonight, you're already in heaven. You're not in the world. I've chosen you out of the world. I've hid you in Christ with God, which means He took your spirit out of your body, rent that veil, put that body away, and it's buried. It's gone. Though it's the person's possession wrapped in the blood of Jesus. And you are believing through a transformation of mind from this translation of spirit as to this wonderful treasure, transformation of mind to the ultimatum, coming to the diplomacy as to the transfiguration, which is the change of your reward of what you're doing. Coming to that, working your way. And down at the end of the church age this year, we're just about down to the last lap of the way. So then get ready. Look up. Everything is right. He's already come into your heart, already set up His kingdom. He and the Father is in there with you, as we say. The Father is a spirit. The Son is a body, fleshly body. They are one. Now, the Holy Ghost is just the personification of that one spirit that's in that Jesus body. That is among you today, while that body of blood-dipped vesture is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's come to officiate as Aaron, the high priest, in your heart, and then He'll go back, pick up His body. Revelation 19, come back and turn the whole world into a valley of blood of those that resist Him in Revelation 19, and set up His own kingdom, His own government, and bring in the real government of God, that you may rule and reign with Him 1,000 years, even before the wicked lives again, and even before the great celestial world comes in of New Jerusalem and the new earth. Can you give Him one more hand? Praise the Lord. Now we're going to sing a chorus or two tonight and take a few minutes to worship God.
because that's what we're here for tonight, is to worship the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. Maybe you've already sang it. I know you sang it last night. And maybe you haven't sang it. But anyway, let's sing it. If you have, let's sing it again. I want to say that I'm glad for every one of you here, just two nights here. I'm glad for every one of you that is here, and it's like a secret catching away. And I'm glad to be able to see, fellowship some of our precious, godly brothers and sisters in the Lord, and friends that we haven't seen in quite a long time. And from here, we're supposed to go over to Kentucky. Has to do with a great thing of us going there. And then from there to Ohio, if the Lord is willing. And you pray for us, because it all has to do with the move of God. And we're just dropping a little seed here and there, just a few seedlings, because we cannot do anything of ourselves. Jesus said, it is the Father that doeth the work. But my, what a wonderful, great, wonderful thing it is to be able to enter into the treasures of the Lord. God said to Job one time, said, Job, have you ever entered into the treasures of the snow? You know, I never had. I didn't even know there was a treasure in the snow. But after that, I thought, well, my God, Lord, if there is such a thing, I want to know about it. And did you know he took me into the treasures of the snow? And my, it's astounding. The treasures of the snow. And all of the wisdom as to the treasure of God, heavenly treasure and earthen vessels. It's here with us. All right. Let's sing this little chorus. I will enter God's gates with thanksgiving down in my heart, to enter into his courts with praise. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it again now. So we've entered into his gates with thanksgiving down in our hearts. Entered into his courts with praise. Sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, cause Jesus makes me glad. Sing it with me now. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Do you feel glad tonight? Do you feel glad tonight? If you know who you are, you can. Paul said, if the motions of sin, which is by the law, can never work in you again. Never work in you again. So Jesus made me glad. Listen now. I said the motions of sin, which is by the law. Why? Because the law is fulfilled. Every jot and every tittle, it is folded away. It is laid away. There is no more law to the children of God. All of the keeping of commandments and ordinances, Jesus took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross, and his spirit that fulfilled the law in Jesus, the body, has come into your heart, and your thoughts being the means fulfill the law while accusing or excusing one another as to your conscience. And now you're free from the law of sin and death. And since transgression of the law is sin, and sin is the sting of death, there's no law, there's no transgression, there's no sting, there's no death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? Somebody say hallelujah. The motions of sin can never work in your body again.
The rapture is here. The translation is here. Your faith of Jesus Christ is here. And we're ready to go out and go home. And from now on, you praise God for what He's done for you. And you don't listen to anything else. And Paul said, if anybody come to you with any other doctrine, if he be an angel, let him be accursed. And he said, as I said, I say again, it doesn't matter if an angel come to you with any other teaching, let him be accursed. He is of the devil. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me know that you're up there with me, folks. Somebody say praise God. I said the rapture has come, as you call it. You go through the translation to the change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then after that, the rapture means caught up, so that everybody can know that you've gone up. That's their stability of understanding. That's all the word rapture means. You are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Chuck, turn it down to the God's gate. You understand what I'm saying? So then you made it. You made it. Somebody said, if I make it, you made it. Glory to God, you made it. You thank God because you made it. I said, you thank God because you made it. This is a great memorial moment right here that's striking all over the world tonight. Like the voice said to me, today's the day that we take the nations. And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and His Christ. If I could exhort you tonight and let you know what's happening in the government, where God showed that, you'd know for sure. I'm telling you right. Somebody say praise the Lord. The altars are open tonight. I want you to come down here and stand with me like you did last night. I want you to give glory to God for what God has done. God has healed you. God has saved you. God has delivered you. And the sisters saying, God delivered again.
We pray, and we shall say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice for Jesus makes me glad.
Hallelujah.
Jesus makes me glad.
Come on, folks. Come on, folks.
Jesus makes me glad, and I'm going to rejoice for Jesus makes me glad.
Jesus makes me glad. Oh, Jesus,
can you help me be glad? How can you do anything else? You're the children of God by faith. God has made you God. He's given you all eternity, all things are yours. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, you're ready to go. Glory to God, hallelujah. Come on, ladies, let me hear out of you tonight. You're the daughters of the Lord tonight. I said, you're the daughters of the Lord tonight. Let that go into your heart. Raise those hands up. Quit playing around with me tonight. I want to hear you praise God if you got any faith tonight. Come on. Somebody said you have to keep quiet in the house of God. Who told you that? You don't understand what God said. You lift your hands up. Let everything that have praise, that have breath, praise God tonight. Come on, ladies, lift their hands up and praise God. Make a loud noise to God tonight. You men, make a loud noise to God tonight.
God's gate.
Let it ring around the world tonight. Around the world tonight. Around the world tonight.
God's heart with praise. And we'll say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice, for Jesus makes me glad.
Sing with us now.
Oh, Jesus makes me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice.
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight,
makes me glad.
I ask you to touch this sister.
Oh, Jesus.
Father, heal her body in Jesus' name tonight. Glory to God. I feel it, sister. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel God in the night. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the yoke broken.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say what you will, it will be done to you, Jesus said. You're the one who must say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Jesus makes me glad.
Hallelujah.
Jesus makes me glad.
Oh, I'm going to rejoice for Jesus makes me glad.
I want you to lift up those hands tonight. I want you to praise God tonight.
Glory be to God.
If
Hallelujah.
You want a touch tonight,
Hallelujah.
God is here to give you a touch tonight.
Hallelujah.
And He'll heal you tonight.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I told you He can't help but heal
oh,
you.
Come
on, folks.
Dear Lord,
I said He's got to heal you. He obligated Himself to you. You are His children. He said, it's my good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom tonight. Hallelujah! Jesus,
hallelujah!
Heal God. I feel you doing it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Somebody say hallelujah.
Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Come by here.
Let's worship God tonight. Let's love the Lord for a few minutes here tonight.
Oh, Lord, won't you come by here? Somebody needs salvation, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs salvation, Lord. Come by here.
Oh,
somebody needs salvation, Lord.
Come by here. Hallelujah.
Oh,
glory to God.
Come by
yes,
here.
Hallelujah.
Come by here, my Lord. Come by here.
Hallelujah.
Come by here, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come by
hallelujah.
Here.
Glory to God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your believing. Even your believing, even your faith in God.
Oh,
he
Lord,
said it, you believe it tonight. He said it,
oh,
you believe
now.
It tonight.
Deliverance, Lord, come by here.
Sing it like this now.
Somebody needs deliverance, Lord.
So he
come by here.
Somebody got deliverance, Lord.
So he
come by here.
Oh, glory to
God.
I know that you are here. Sing it again, David. Sing it again.
Lord, come by.
Let's love the Lord,
you
folks. Let's get victory tonight. Come on, lay that old shell aside. The embalmers called it a shell. Lay it aside. That thing ain't got nothing to do with you. The accusation of your thoughts ain't got nothing to do with you. Glory to God, the Bible said it here. If you feel condemned, God is greater than your heart. If your heart condemns you, He knows He wrought His work for you. Don't you listen to that sassy old thing. Paul said it was with you. It ain't got nothing to do with it. Jesus killed it.
Come by here. Oh,
hallelujah.
Come by here.
Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord? Don't you feel the victory tonight? Where's your faith, Jesus said? Where's your faith tonight? The acknowledgement of God's word tonight. Where's the acknowledgement of God's word tonight? Don't you acknowledge His word tonight? Can't you acknowledge His word tonight? He said it, I believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. It all happened. I said it all happened in the foreknowledge of God. It all happened in the foreknowledge of God. He's just waiting for you to believe it to make it manifest. He's just waiting for you to believe it to make it manifest. It already happened. And the works was finished from the foundation of the world. God, that it happened to you. 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 It happened to me. It happened to me. Glory to God.
Come by here. By here, Lord, come
I preach to you. I preach to you for about an hour.
Lord,
now you preach back to me. You preach for about an hour back to me now. You preach for about an hour back to me now.
Come
on. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, folks. I'm talking about deliverance, real deliverance. Real godly deliverance tonight.